Okay. We're having a retreat coming up. September 26th through the 28th, midweek, for women, girls. Please visit pureozark.com to check that out. And we love to meet folks, and we pray you'll come out and fellowship, read about that, and contact us if you have any questions. Today I'm going to preach on God's glory chains, and I'll explain that as we go. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together, Father, without interference, without persecution. Lord, we know this is illegal in many places in the world. And we know, God, even in our own nation, there were times when it was illegal, very recently, Lord. Now, we do thank you for the peace that you've given us. Let us use these open doors, God, to the degree that they're open, to do great things for you, Lord. I know, God, that our days are numbered, Father. We don't have much opportunity when you look at it in the big picture, God, but you have given us this portion of life so brief that we might use everything that you put in our hand for your glory, for your goodness, for your work. And may we lay down our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a verse. I call this God's glory chains. Hopefully you know this verse. Remember it. Psalms 119. And I will walk at liberty. I will walk at liberty. For I seek thy precepts. A precept is a commandment. Mandated directions. The psalmist is telling us that there is liberty when you are seeking God's precept. In other words, in God's commandments, you have liberty. Keep that in your mind. Because your flesh is not going to agree with this. Satan is not going to agree with this. He's not going to tell you he agrees with it. The devil's going to show up to say, there is no liberty in God's way. There's no liberty in God's commandments. Don't you feel bound? Don't you feel chained? Don't you feel constricted? Then what do you do with a perfect Bible? What do you do with a Bible? The Word of God cannot be broken. What do you do with this that tells you God's commandments are not grievous? God's commandments are actually your liberty, your freedom. I call them glory chains. We scheduled a shed mover, a cabin mover, to come and move this cabin that was out here to make a kitchen out of it. I really like the fella. He's an older fella and been doing it a long time. As he came out, he began to walk around and look and measure and said, I didn't know this thing was 32 feet long. That's not going to fit on my trailer. Now, I know there are things we can't do, no matter how hard you try. I know there are things that just can't be done. There are things God doesn't want done. There's things that you can't do right now, but you'll maybe be able to do later. I understand that. But many times, major hindrances are often just cause for prayer, faith, and works by faith. Do you understand that? You cannot go through your life saying, oh, well, something's in my way. That must be God. So I believe there's a time when you just can't do anything. There's nothing else you can do. But I believe we give up too easy in a lot of things in life when they're good things. People, when it comes to sin, you will not believe the effort they will go to. The labor, the effort, the time, the energy. But when it comes to God and anything that's good to do, well, I guess it's not God's will. How easy we give up. So I said to the fella, your truck's pretty big here. Why don't you chain it up to your truck and see if you can move it? You got these double tires on the back? And he said, I don't think so. But praise God, he was a go-getter. He chained it up and we sat there and watched and it did not budge. It did not move. I mean, not even an inch. It didn't even wiggle for me a little bit. So I figure it's time to go home. I said, now wait a second. How about I hook my truck up to it? He says, is it four-wheel drive? I said, no. But let's just hook it up. So we hooked it up to the trailer. He took off and mashed his gas, and I took off and mashed my gas. It didn't budge an inch. I said, hey, brother, why don't we unhook this thing from the trailer and hook it directly to the chain? He says, we can try it if you want to. I don't know what difference that's going to make. So we got ready. Next thing you know, he jumps out of the truck, comes to me. He says, what's wrong? What do you need? I said, I don't need anything. He said, well, I heard hollering. I said, I'm hollering up to God that this thing moves. And he says, amen, let's pray. And then he got back in the car, back in his truck. And man, I tell you, we hit that gas and that thing just slid like butter. Praise God. And it just got where we wanted. But then we had more trouble. We had more trouble. And almost looked like we were going to give up. But then it all worked out in the end. And we fellowshiped for a long time, had a good time. He's a good fella. There's so much you can get done with get it done people. There's just so much. There's so much you can do. You don't really need a lot of people. Sometimes you just need a get it done person to pray, to have faith. As I was looking down at those chains, I was very thankful for him. And I watched that cabin move. And I was very thankful for those chains. And I had some time to just sit there and think about God's chains. God's chains. I'm thankful for some chains that God has in our lives. But some chains you need to break. Some chains aren't God's chains. There's things in the way, and God wants it out of the way. There's some things that bind you from doing something for God, or getting something done, or being a blessing. And I'm telling you, either you move the chains that have you bound and get to work for God and do something for God and serve God. Or finally God says, I'm going to get somebody else. I'm not being mean. God's not being mean. God's just saying, use what you have for God, for His glory, for His house. And God's not going to take anything away from you. God blesses you. Or you can sit back and try to hold on to everything. Hold on to your life. Hold on to your time. Hold on to your energy. Hold on to your funds. Hold on to whatever He's put in your life that could be a blessing. Let's see how long that lasts. You just sometimes need one person that has faith, that's willing to try something. I'm reminded of Jonathan's armor bearer. People were pretty depressed. The Philistines, you're about to have this horrible war. And a lot of the Israelites are afraid. It's not looking good. But here you got this prince of a man, Jonathan. And Jonathan said to the young man, a young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Now can you imagine? I don't think that young man would have been his armor bearer if he was not of the Spirit, a certain type of Spirit. And praise God, he was. He was of the same spirit as Jonathan. Jonathan said, "Hey, let's go over. Let's attack them. Are you with me?" His armor bearer could have started saying, "You know what, I really don't think it's time. I think this is kind of presumptuous. I think this is not good. I really think, you know," there's no telling what he could have said. "I think you're crazy is what I think you are." But his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Which is to say, it may be I die today. Or it may be God does something great through us. Whatever you want to do, Jonathan. Well, I believe you probably remember there was such a great slaughter. And it said the armor bearer was slaying right behind Jonathan. Boy, I tell you. It said they both were slaying. And after that slaughter, it brought a trembling. The whole army, thousands and thousands, began to tremble. And I tell you what, Israel said, "What's happening? What's happening?" And there was a great victory. God used Jonathan. It's just one person that was a get-it-done person to help the whole army of Israel. To help the whole army of Israel. What about this? It says in Mark 2, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." He had four friends trying to help him. "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press..." There's too many people that wanted to see Jesus and get healed. They said, "I'm sorry, fella, you're not going to be healed today. It's just not time. It's just not good. This doesn't work out. We got to go back home, man. It's getting late anyway. I got things to do back home. I'm going to go put my feet up and..." Sorry. No. I don't know who it was, maybe all four. But somebody among them said, "Let's not give up already. This is a good thing we're doing. Let's not give up. Let's take the roof off of the house and lower him down on top of Jesus and then let Jesus touch him and heal him." Sometimes things that you think are crazy or might think are crazy or I might think are crazy, God thinks is faith. They They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. That's a lot of trouble to go through. They had to have cords. They had to have chains. They had to have something holding that bed as they let it down. But I tell you what, these were chains of glory, man, because he got healed. When Jesus saw not his faith, not that, when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." That young man got healed today. I don't know how old he is, but that fella got healed today. That day. Paul praised those in the churches that were those types of people. He said, "Greet Priscilla." Notice, she comes first. This is a couple, a husband and wife. She comes first. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Everybody knows about this couple. They are go-get-it people. They are get-it-done people. These aren't whiners. These aren't murmurers. These aren't people that cower back and make excuses. These are get it done people. Even if they're risking their own life to get it done. Because see, all the things we're trying to do right now, there's very limited persecution. Imagine trying to do things for God and you might go to jail and disappear tomorrow. It's going to be a whole different world, isn't it? I'm in communication with some right now that live like that daily. They don't know when the next knock at the door is going to be them disappearing. There are some things that get in the way of accomplishing things for God. Some chains that bind you up. And those chains need to be removed by faith, by a little bit of energy. The chain of murmuring and of apathy and pot-smoking attitude. That lack of motivation. That lack of follow-through. That's how we're raising kids. That's how people are raising their kids today. You don't got to finish anything. Oh, are you tired? Why don't you sleep in today? Okay. Oh, you don't want to work? Oh, you okay? You little flower, are you okay? Yeah, your mommy will take care of you. That's how you raise it. And you know what? The whole world's raising kids like that. I'm not telling you to be mean to anybody. I'm telling you, once you give your kid a chance. Because life's not going to pamper your child. This world's not going to pamper your child. His job's not going to pamper him. The devil's not going to pamper him. He's going to have to fight the fight of faith. He's going to have to be a soldier for the Lord Jesus, your daughter also. There's a physical side to this. We know diet influences hormones. The Bible says eat for strength. And I try to study. I try to do that. I try to do everything I possibly can to have the motivation and drive that I need. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. I certainly don't know everything. I'm doing everything I can to try to learn and study what can I eat for strength. And I'm telling you, just small changes, I can tell the difference. I mean, you just tweak it a little bit and you've got drive like you would not believe. What can I get done next? What can we do next? But if that thing messes up, I have to look around and think, what am I eating? What did I eat wrong? Why do I not have the drive that I normally have? Why am I getting depressed? Be sensitive towards your body. Be sensitive toward what you're putting in your mouth. Go try to run your lawnmower off Coca-Cola and see how much work it gets done for you. And imagine your body, your intricate system. I'm not perfect at these things. I went to Lowe's and bought something. And when I got down there, I realized this thing's not going to fit in the van. I cannot believe I did this. I only have limited time. I have to leave. I want to get this thing. But now I did something very stupid. So I told the girl at the front desk, "I'm an idiot." So I came all the way up here with this van. She says, "We can get that in your van." I said, "No, I don't want to tear it up." She said, "We won't tear up nothing. Just move out of the way. We'll get this in the van." So we took it outside. Somehow or another, she knew everything about van seats. Don't ask me. She knew exactly how everything worked. I said, "It's still not going to fit." She goes, "Oh, yeah, watch this." And I could not believe it. I got back there, pushed, Everything fit perfectly. I said, "You're amazing. You're amazing." I was ready to give up a long time. I was ready to leave. But you are a get-it-done person. I gave her a review. I called up Lowe's. I did everything that I could to say, that's a get-it-done person. That's exceptional help. That person went beyond expectations to help. Ecclesiastes, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." The Bible saying that you can be too sensitive about hindrances. You can just be too sensitive, too whiny baby sensitive about hindrances. We all can. But this generation is off the charts, man. I tell you what, they call it toxic work environment. And then when you look and see what they're actually complaining about, you find out, my boss told me what to do. My boss got a little stressed out. And these people, read about it. Look what's happening all across. I'm not saying there's not any bad bosses. I'm not saying there's no toxic work environment. But I'm saying a major problem is you got babies that are now in the workforce and they're like saying, I got to commit suicide. I need to be on an antidepressant. I can't handle it. They told me what to do. Proverbs 22 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." And I like the verse that comes not far after it. "Foolishness is bound." That's a chain, ain't it? Foolishness is bound. That's foolishness. It is foolishness to exaggerate your problems. It is foolishness to say, I got a problem, and exaggerate it and not be a problem solver. There are some things in your way that God wants you to be a man and get it out of your way. And you're to raise kids that understand that. Because they're going to have foolishness that's bound within them. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I think there's some kids growing up with chains. They're all bound up. They got foolishness all chained to them. And nobody cares. Boy, you'll care one day. I've seen some mamas care. When their child can't work, when he's no longer a child, when he's 35 and still can't work, still making excuses, still finding somebody's couch to sleep on. One problem is we just don't get things done. One problem is we're just too easy to give up. One problem is we exaggerate our problems. But another problem is we just don't have the right priority. You see the same person that will make excuses and say, no, we can't do that. But boy, if it's something that has to do with their house and not God's house, you would not believe the dedication they have. It's like, where'd they get all that dedication? Where'd they get all that money and all that time and all that dedication? Boy, they don't give up when it's something to do with their house. So one problem is there are misdirected and unbalanced priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. I'm not telling you to neglect your house. But sometimes God looks at everything in a binary way. What I mean is, there's His house and there's your house. And God's not saying there's not things that you need to do for God at your house. Notice, Philippians 2, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus," that's Timothy, "shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." What did Paul mean? Were there not people called to the ministry? But even those people, there was something about this man that was different than almost every other man. And the difference is right here. There's a seeking of their own. There's a wrong priority. Priorities out of order. Haggai said, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you? You say, I've heard this before, preacher. I know, but the Bible says we need to be reminded. How do you know you don't need to be reminded of things? And if you don't need it, suffer me to read it. I need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Now, God might let you alone, because you're not bringing forth fruit anyway. But those that bear fruit, God's not going to let them get away with this. And you better not presume on God that He'll let anybody get away with this, because we're all going to stand before God. The judgment seat is coming. But some come under extra care of the Lord, because He knows they're dedicated to Him. And He wants their priorities straight, because He knows they're going to be fruit bearers. The branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. He prunes it. So there's a duty, a priority, and we're bound by it. And it's a chain, so to speak. We're bound by these chains of duty, of priority, to set our affection on the things of God and on God's house and on His work. And when we do that, we get blessed in other priorities that we have in our life. If you read the same Bible I'm reading, that's what it says from Genesis to Revelation. So when I looked down at those chains and I saw that building moving, I said, God's chains are for moving things. God's chains are for moving things. See, without God's chains and without His ropes, you're not in the right place to be used by God. So many people said, I'm not going to go to that church. I'm not going to go to a fundamental conservative Christian church. I'm not going to go someplace where they preach standards and God's commandments. I don't want to hear all that. I want to break that chain and get out here and cut loose. Well, you cut loose, all right. You cut loose from being a testimony. You cut loose from whoever's writing a book, whatever angels are writing something, whatever is going to get written in that millennial kingdom, whatever story, you cut loose from God's story. Because it's going to say, and so-and-so served God for a little bit, and then he fell away. And you just fell off out of the scene, see. Why don't you finish? You come all this way, why don't you finish? Man, it's God's chains. These chains that bind you. It's to keep you in the right place so you can be used. So you can be the husband. So you can be the wife. So you can be the soul winner. So you can be the person that you need to be for God and have a testimony. And when He comes, whether it's in the rapture or whether you die and go to meet Him, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God's chains are to help keep you bound where you need to be so you can get glory. And instead of getting mad at them, you're to say, God, thank you for those chains. Thank you for a church to preach to me and poke at me and to keep me from walking in sin. Thank you for good people, God, that are seeking you in my life. Thank you for good parents. Thank you for good brothers and sisters. Thank you for these things that poke at me, Lord, and keep me straight, because I'd go off the deep end. I'd end up somewhere crazy. No telling what I would end up doing. And you're to look at God's chains and say, thank you, God. Thank you for them. They move me. They take me where I need to be. I'm duty bound. The Bible says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of God's mercies that He's already shown to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. You're to say, God, because of love, because of your mercy, because it's reasonable, because it's my duty, I come and I surrender. What do you want to do, God? Just use me. Take me. Whatever you want me to do, I want to serve. I'll relax in the kingdom. But here, I want to burn out for God. I want to serve God. I want to be used by the Lord. I want to do something. This might be my last day. It might be your last day. It might be your last night. You ought to number your days. I like over here in Acts, the apostle says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You ought to say, "I'm duty bound. I cannot but get it done. I cannot but do whatever I possibly can for God." It says in Psalms 118, "God is the Lord, which has showed us light." You ought to be thankful for that. "Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar." Hey man, sometimes that sacrifice is not just your funds. It's not just your time. It's not just whatever God's put in your hands and your energy. Man, that sacrifice is you. Sometimes you need to say, "Man, I'm tying myself up right here because this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be found serving God, dedicated to God, full of zeal, full of fire for God, not full of whining, not full of complaining, not full of sighing, not full of laziness, not full of sloth. Bind it." Why do they bind the thing? Keep it from wiggling off of there, man. How easy do the things that should be God wiggle off somewhere else? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It says in Corinthians, "I beseech you, brethren," you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, "and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us in labor." Isn't that something? Paul looked down and said, "You know these people here? You know this family? They are so addicted to serving God, you just go obey them. You want to serve God? Then get behind them, and whatever they tell you to do, go do it." See, find somebody fired up for God. Find somebody who wants to get something done for God and say, "What can I do? What can I do?" If you say, I just don't have that kind of zeal to get it started. Well, okay. Pray to have it. But find somebody that does have it and say, "What can I do? What can I do?" Because you're a get it done person. What can I do? What's our goals in this church? Get people saved, get the Christians edified, teach them the fear of God, teach them God's commandments, encourage them, help them, refresh them, revive them. Get people saved. Some people have a lot of chains. Mark 4. "And the cares of this world," that's a chain holding you down. You got to break that. "And the deceitfulness of riches," boy, that's a chain. "And the lust of other things," that's a chain. "Entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." There's sin, there's weights that weigh you down. Isaiah 5 says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope." What the Bible's saying is there's some people that are so diligent, that spend so much energy to sin. Listen to me. There's some people that exert so much time, so much energy, so much of their life to sin and do something that's just going to burn up and not be worth anything when God comes. And they say, "I'd like to help, but yeah, well, I know you can't help, man, because you're all bound up with chains, man. You're all bound up. You can't do anything for God. You're all bound up. And what are you pulling, by the way, man? Why are you out dragging these things with these chains? You're just bringing more sin into your life." More weights. Maybe you feel that God's commandments are hindering you. The Bible says they're liberty. But the Bible says Satan will promise you liberty. A bunch of false teachers will promise you liberty. Proverbs 18 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. You talk to a lot of young people today, they say, I got to find myself. I got to discover myself. I got to find out who I am. Which means now the devil's going to get a hold of them. I'm telling you, God's commandments keep you in the way of life and glory. They move you where you need to be. They keep you in the way of maturity. Let's bind some things down for God so it doesn't wiggle off the altar. You got some things you dedicated to God? Tie the thing down, man. Quit wiggling off God's table, off His altar. Proverbs 6 says, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. How about God's commandment? You say, I forgot that. Tie it down, man. Write it down all over the place. Quit letting the devil pluck it away from your life. Jesus says when it comes to the local church, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's sometimes when a church has to do church discipline and exclude somebody. There are chains. Second Thessalonians says, but we are bound to give thanks. Did you hear what I said? We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Chapter 1 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because your faith groweth exceedingly. We are bound to give thanks. There's things, there's chains that are on you right now. They're called duties. It's your duty. It's your duty to do things. It's your duty to serve God. It's your duty to go out in the field and do your work and then come in and God says, okay, now it's time to serve in the kitchen. It's your duty to say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done that which is my duty to do, Lord. What else can I do for you? We haven't done enough for God. I haven't done enough for God. And God says, quit whining. I pay you 100-fold for everything. It's your duty. If God didn't pay you anything, it's your duty to do all of this. And He loves a cheerful giver. But praise God, He pays us. He pays us. Man can never pay you to the degree that God can. God pays you. He says 100-fold. And He says in this time and in the world to come. Nobody's going to go to God and say, look what I did for you, God. Wow. No, everybody's going to say what all the great men and women of God have said down through the ages. I never made a sacrifice. I can't outgive God. God takes care of me. There's going to be chains on you, people. God's commandments. The feeling of duty. Integrity. Your vows. All of these are chains. You can break them, but I wouldn't. And God says this in Hosea, though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. Sometimes your arms are broken. And back then they knew how to fix arms that were broken. God says you had a broken arm. But I fixed your arm and made it useful to me. Now it works. I put you in a place. You were in a place where you couldn't help anybody. But God says, look what I did to you. I fixed you and put you in a place where you could help. And now what are you going to do? You're not going to be thankful? See, they knew how to take a broken arm and bind it. And it was very intricate. They knew just how tight to bind it and come back, put some honey on it, loosen it a little, tighten it a little. Sometimes they used rods, sometimes they used collars, sometimes they used all kinds of things. But they knew how, many of them, definitely the biblical culture, but also the ancient Greeks and many other cultures in ancient times. God says in Ezekiel 30, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, to put a roller to bind it, to make it strong, to hold the sword. God says, I broke his arm, and he's not going to ever get use of his arm back again to hold the sword. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we have had God had to chain up our arms before. God might have to take your leg or something in your arm, and he might have to bind it all up where it doesn't move. And you're like, why is God constraining me? Why did God do that? Because God wants it to be strong. God's putting you in a place to where you can do something for God. I'm telling you, his chains are for glory. When he bandages you up, when he puts these bandages on you, it's so your skin will come back together and you will not bleed to death. You will not get an infection. Israel newspaper says ancient humans healed foot fracture shows prehistoric nursing in Israel. Archaeologists digging in a cave in northern Israel have unearthed the prehistoric remains of a young adult's foot with faint signs of a serious fracture that healed remarkably well. Jerusalem Post tells us that it was a child's fractured bones in western Galilee, and somebody must have took care of this injury. And they allowed the child to not only survive, but to recover from the fracture. The type of injury suffered is still common today, especially among athletes and children. They add that even now it requires surgery or at least several weeks of wearing a cast before the patient can go back to normal activity. But we saw this thing. It was all healed. They knew how to heal broken bones back then. And God knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. With God's ways, with God's commandments, with God's providence, Joseph was chained up. But those chains took Joseph to glory. There is some discipline that God might put upon you. And it doesn't seem to be joyous. But God's using it to bring you to glory. You say, I wish I could do what the world does. I feel bound. So does everybody. Everybody that looks at it and just sits there and looks at their chains. God's commandments are not grievous. These are chains made for moving, friend. So keep order. Keep rank. Keep in your place. Keep bound by God's ways, by His commands, by His providential chains. Dear Father, we do pray that we would not get in your way, despise what you're doing in our life. Forgive us, Father, when we've allowed the devil to put his chains on us, but we don't like your chains, God. May we freely offer ourselves as sacrifices. May we cheerfully lay down our lives for you, Lord. Help us, God, to do great things for you. By faith. And I pray these young people will not look at the world and say, well, they're free and I'm not free. May they look at their addictions. Look at the fruit of sin. Look at the result and consequences of sin. And see that they're not free. They're slaves to their flesh. They're slaves to porn. They're slaves to this worldly system. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Now come quickly. Amen.